This weekend, the unspeakable horror of the terrorist attacks in France have caused many to be thinking once again, you know, even though it's very easy for us to forget with the brevity of life and the reality of these kinds of things in our world, it calls us to think about them once again. And one of the things that I have seen as I've looked at the news and social media and other things is the predominance of the Christian response being focused on the essentials of Islam. And even myself, having just come from Uganda just a few weeks ago, where the call to prayer, the salat, would ring out almost five times a day, focusing on that one religion. But I think we'd do wrong if we do that today. What I'd like for us to do is I'd like for us, all of us, as a church, as people gathered together this morning, for just the next few moments to revisit what I'm going to call are the essentials of Christianity, the basic elements of what we might call this new covenant relationship with God through Jesus Christ in the power of the Spirit based on the written revelation in the Bible. If somebody asked me, what is Christianity? I would say Christianity is a new covenant relationship with God through Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit based on the written revelation of God in the Bible. That's what I would say Christianity is. New covenant relationship with God through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit based on the written revelation of God in the Bible. Anything else is not Christianity. And I want us this morning to think about the basics. Even though for you, you say, oh, but I'm so far beyond. I'm in my maturity, in my spiritual walk, I'm so far beyond the basics of the Christianity. Listen, you never get beyond the basics of Christianity, you only go deeper. You understand? You never get beyond the basics of Christianity, you only ever go deeper in the truth. That's spiritual maturity. And the Apostle Paul brings us to consider the basics or the essentials of the Christian faith in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, what's going on here, the context, just so I can set it for you, is this. Of course, the Apostle Paul had been there in Corinth. It's not really a great place to be. Lots of immorality, lots of people who've come to Christ out of terrible, terrible, terrible backgrounds. Just immorality. I mean, in many ways, folks, Corinth was much like we are today. Because most of us are sitting here today, and we think about, when we think about our past, we remember, we see, other people may not see the quote-unquote skeletons in our closet, but we see them. And we know how bad and how deeply those things are there. We have come out of all kinds of immorality, out of all kinds of immoral and lascivious backgrounds, yet God saved us in Christ. And what's happening here in Corinth is after Paul had preached the gospel, a group of false teachers came in and tried to distort the gospel. And guess what? Some people followed. Some people followed the false teachers. Paul had written back and forth, visited them, and said, I can't believe this is happening. Long story short, the Corinthians repented. They turned their backs on the false teachers, and now they're coming back to the Apostle Paul and the apostolic doctrine that was presented by him. He writes 2 Corinthians to give thanks to God for their repentance, but as well as to squash any remaining fires of unbelief or any remaining fires of rebellion. As he writes 2 Corinthians 3, he is now addressing the question, Paul, how can you be so bold? I mean, you're just coming to tell me that Jesus is the only way? You're coming to tell me that every other world religion is nothing more than demonic activity? You're coming to tell. How can you be so bold? Paul, how can you be so confident? Maybe some of you are thinking the same thing today. You're thinking, how can you, Joe, believe that there is only one way to heaven? How can you, Joe, say that there is only one way and that there's only one right religion? How can you say that? I want to show you here from 2 Corinthians chapter 3 how we can say there's only one right way, and that's the way. Just use this one, okay? Just keep that one on. Forget this headphone thing. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to show you verse 12 through 18. Paul is telling them how he can be so bold as to say that there's only one right way. How he can be so bold as to say that Jesus and Jesus alone. Look what he says. Verse 12. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened, for to this day when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, now here's where he really shows us the basics, the essentials of the Christian faith. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. That verse 18 says, contains for us the basic elements, the essentials of Christianity. And I want to give them to you, and then I'll enumerate them first, and then we'll talk about them. Number one, we're going to see the faith that you must have. The basics of Christianity, first of all, begin with faith. A faith you must have. Second, a focus. A focus you must give. One, a faith you must have. Two, a focus you must give. Three, a fruit you will produce. Faith, focus, fruit. Number four, friend. A friend who makes it all happen. If you want to know the basics of Christianity, you need to know, first of all, there is a faith you must have. Secondly, there is a focus you must give. Thirdly, there is a fruit you will produce. And fourthly, there is a friend who will make it all happen. That's what we see right there in verse 18. Notice the faith you must have. Paul says here in verse 18, and we all with unveiled face. Now stop right there. What do you mean unveiled face? Well, what he's been doing in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is he's drawing a distinction between the old covenant ministry that was highlighted under Moses and the new covenant ministry from Jesus. So he says something like this. Moses goes up on the mountain and he gets the law of God. But that law is written on what? Stone tablets. Cold, hard stone tablets. He gets the law of God. He comes down from the mountain, and what's he find the people do? They're all having this party, this sinful celebration of idolatry. At that, the law is broken. Literally, the tablets are broken. God says to Moses, come back up. He said, I'm not going to go with these people anymore. Moses said, if you're not going to go with these people, then kill me. God says, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to use you to lead this people, but I will not go with them, because if I go with them, I will have to kill them. Moses says, okay. Gets the law again, comes down, moves the tent of meeting outside. That's the place where he meets with God. Moves it outside the camp. He goes out there. Well, of course, when Moses comes down, he sees a vision of God. He comes down from the mountain, and his face is glowing. All of the people see the glowing face of Moses, and they're reminded of what? They're reminded of the fact that they have broken God's law. They're reminded of the fact that God just told Moses that he will no longer guide the people personally, intimately, as he had been. Every time they saw Moses' face. So what did Moses do? He put a veil over his face. So as a way of showing his mercy, as a way of showing mercy to the people, to take the focus off of the judgment that they're going to face. Paul says, and we all, with unveiled face. What's he mean? He says this. When one, in fact, if you just look up in verse 14, the same veil remains unlifted because only through Christ is it taken away. Verse 16, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now he's using this term veil to speak of someone who doesn't really trust Christ. In that video, you heard Colin say there was a time where it was like the scales fell from my eyes. You remember him saying that? It's just, I didn't see, I wasn't seeing, and then all of a sudden, it's clear. Paul says, and we all with unveiled face. That's a way of saying, and everybody who has turned to the Lord, everybody who has come to have faith in Jesus Christ, not in the works of the law, not in the works of the flesh, but you have come to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity is primarily about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, maybe you can sit there today and you can look back on that day and you remember that day or that time in your life when it was as if the scales just fell off your eyes. When you didn't see clearly and then all of a sudden you said, I see clearly now. Jesus, I never trusted Jesus before, but now I'm trusting Him. Now I'm believing Him and Him alone. Christianity is about a faith that you must have. If you do have not turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be many things, but you can't be a Christian, you see. You can be many things, but you can't be a Christian. We all with unveiled face, that is, we've turned to the Lord. The veil is taken away. No longer do the things of the Scripture say, ah, this is weird, I don't understand. We say, ah, I see Christ, I see Christ, I see Christ. It's about a faith you must have. It's not about a performance, you see. It's not about you doing enough good things to just somehow, as we said last week, eke your way into the kingdom. It's about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That faith that you must have now gives way to a focus you must give. Look what he says. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord. Now what happened? Back again, Exodus chapter 34. Moses sees the glory of the Lord. Yet all the people, every time they saw the shining face of Moses, they were reminded what? Of their judgment. The glory of the Lord reminded them of their judgment. But here's what Paul says. The difference in Christianity is this. A faith you must have gives way to a focus you must give. What do? Now, having faith in Jesus Christ, we are now able to focus our attention to behold the glory of the Lord. What does the word glory here mean? When it's used in this context, the word glory always refers to the character of God. It is always a reference to all of the attributes of God rolled up in one. His glory is whatever is true about Him. Christianity now is about focusing or beholding. What do you do when you behold? You gaze at. You stand in wonder, in awe. I've told you before. On August 7th, 1993, Greenville, North Carolina, Temple Free Will Baptist Church, I'm standing in front of, I don't know how many people, a couple of guys are standing there with me, we're decked out in our best, and I see these girls walking up through the aisle and then, rose petal, I don't know, whatever they were doing, but I didn't care about them. And then all of a sudden, the door in the back opened and the light of heaven shone through and angel voices began to sing and bells began to ring on my head, and all of these things were going on, and I looked back there and I said, oh, what happened? I was beholding the one who was going to become my wife. Everything else in that moment just paled in comparison Christianity is about beholding the glory of Christ. It's about gazing at the glory of Christ. That's essential. Christianity is not about performing. Christianity is not about doing more good than you do bad. Christianity is not even about going to church. Christianity is not about singing songs. Christianity is not about helping old ladies across the street. All those things are good, but that's not the essential. The essential is a faith you must have leads to a focus you must give. All of Christian life now is beholding what is true about God in the face of Jesus Christ. And you see what he says later, if you go on to chapter 4, is that that glory is communicated through apostolic preaching, which is the word of God itself. So let me tell you this. You behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus through the scriptures. You are gazing at what is true about God in the written word of God. That's Christianity, friends. Some of you, if I say, are you a Christian? You say, oh, I go to church. Are you a Christian? Oh, I've done good things. You know, some of you even say, I say, are you a Christian? You say, oh, yeah, way back when. I heard somebody say this week, I made my profession way back when. That means nothing if your life is not taken up with focusing or beholding the glory of God in the face of Jesus. If you are not living in constant awe of the glory of Jesus Christ, you may be many things, but a Christian is not one of them. See, Christianity is about a faith. Some of you say, oh yeah, but I signed a card, but I was 8 years old. I was 30 years old. I raised my hand. Somebody said, I prayed a prayer. I even have it written in the front of my Bible. I'm not talking about a faith that is inactive today. A faith that you must have will lead to a focus that you must give, which, get this, will lead to a fruit that you will produce. What is the fruit? Look what he says. Spirit of the Lord, the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, from one degree of glory to another. What is the fruit? The fruit of your focus, which is based on your faith, is a transformation into that same image that you're beholding. You are just like Moses comes down from the mountain and his face is physically, literally illumined because he had been with God. So when you have your focus, your attention, when you are beholding the image of God, the glory of God, what is true about him, guess what happens? You begin little by little, step by step, to become into his image. Now, that doesn't mean he makes you into little gods, but he transforms you morally so that you start to look more like him than you do like yourself. That's Christianity. See, Christianity is not about your performance and see, I've done all these things and I got my tie on and my hair's nice and I have all of these things. Now, that's good. I'm glad you took a bath this morning. Thank you. But that's not Christianity in and of itself. Christianity is becoming more like Christ. I learned this a couple of years ago. I used to look at people and I would look at them and I'd see things about them and I'd say, oh, I don't like that. And I don't like this, and oh, I don't want to ever be like that. Oh, I got to watch out. I'd see things in my family, and I'd say, oh, I want to be less like that. So I'm, and pretty soon, guess what I've been doing? I was spending my entire life trying not to be like other people. Well, guess what? There's about, how many people are there in the world? 6 billion people in the world. That's very time consuming. Because there's about 12 billion characteristics that I don't want to be like. Spend all your time trying to not be like some, or learning that Christianity is about focusing on Christ and Christ alone and seeing him change you into his image. You say, well, Joe, how's that happen? I'll tell you how it happens. I'm reading the scriptures. And I remember one time I'm reading John chapter 13 and reading how Jesus put on the towel of the servant and got that water basin and knelt down and washed the dirty, stinking feet of his disciples. And I'm reading, and as I'm reading that, I'm finding myself saying, Christ, I want to be more like that. Christ, would you transform me? Help me to serve others like you serve others, you see? The faith you must have gives way to a focus you will give, which then leads you to a fruit you will produce. You will become more and more like the image of God, or the image of Christ. And guess what? There is nothing that can ever stop that. How do I know that? How do you know that? Those who were foreknown, he did also predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son. And those that he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Listen, Christianity is about embracing that promise that no matter what, God in Christ will transform you into the very image for which he created you. It's about embracing that promise with glad-hearted joy and thanksgiving. That's Christianity. About a faith you must have, a focus you must give, a fruit you will produce. Somebody said, but Joe, this sounds like an awful, you're really laying it on heavy. I gotta produce a fruit, and I gotta do this, and I gotta do this, and yeah, I know. That's why Paul finishes with a friend who makes it all happen. You're being transformed in the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You see, the problem with the law, the Old Testament law, was not the law. The problem with the Old Testament law was the hardness of people's heart. And there was no active agent within man to make it all happen. That's Old Covenant. The glory of the New Covenant is the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the presence of the Holy Spirit, who comes in and applies it all. Christianity is about a friend who will never leave you or forsake you, a friend who will never depart from you, a friend who will always be with you, a friend who will activate the power of the work of God in your life through the Word of God to the glory of God. It's about the Spirit of God living inside of you. So I say you have to produce this fruit. Yes, you have to produce this fruit because He's producing it in you. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Remember, kids, that song? He will activate that fruit in you. And so listen, a lot of people say, oh, I just need to get more of God. I need to get more of God. No, Christianity is not about getting more of God. You have all that you'll ever need. It's about Him getting more of you. It's about living your life under the control of the Spirit of God and saying, God, I want you to produce in me what you have predestined me to be, what you have called me to be. Christianity is about faith. It's about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Has there been a day and time in your life where you turned to the Lord? Where you ceased trusting yourself and you began trusting Jesus? I hope you can say, oh, there was a time for me. There was a time. I will never forget it. I was sitting on the ping pong table at Rhodes Grove Campground waiting for the girls to come out because we were all going to go to eat together. And I was sitting in that ping pong table having lived a life of even though I was religious, having lived a life of wanton rebellion. And at that moment, I understood the truth of the gospel, and I just said, okay, God, I give, I'm yours. On that day, whatever it was sometime probably in the summer, probably 19-something, 80-something. See, that's why I don't want you to get down saying, well, I have the date and I have the time. Some of you do, that's great. Some of you don't. It's all right. But that day, the scales fell off, and I said, enough, I'm going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you see, now this sets in tension because I'm wondering, is my life now about me doing well or is it about him? Well, yeah, it is. That's that tension. And I remember struggling so much through life. And I would sin, and I'd come before God. I went to Liberty University, and I remember I'd sin in a particular way, and I'd hear a great speaker, a great emotional speaker, and I would say, oh, no, I must not be saved because look at what I've done. And so I'd go down front again and get on my knees at the altar call and lay it all out on the altar again and write it in my Bible, now today I'm sure. And this went on and on and on and on over and over and over again until one day, and listen to a message of somebody preaching from John 15 on the vine and the branches. And I recognized, I understood at that moment. I said, you know what? As I was really struggling with producing faith, I thought about this. I told you this before. You never walk into a grape arbor and hear the vines going, trying to produce grapes. It never happens like that. And I realized that my Christian life was more than it was resting in Christ, resting in Him. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Praise the Lord. And the life I live, it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. Praise the Lord. And the life that I live by what? Faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. See, these are the basics of Christianity. A faith in Christ, which leads to a focus, a beholding. That's Christianity. Christianity is just being amazed. I tell you that all the time. It is a life of beholding the glory of God, beholding the glory, seeing what He has said, seeing His character, beholding the glories of God, and just being amazed. That's why Thanksgiving is such a great time of year, because it's like, it's like the license for you to rejoice in who God is for you in Christ. Your employer gives you a day off on the year so that you can focus on the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Wow! That's amazing. Which leads to a fruit that you will produce by God's grace, little by little, not all at once, but little by little, I'm producing fruit. I'm being transformed from one step to the next step. Christianity is not from here to here. Christianity is glory to glory, to glory to glory. You see, step by step by step. Next week, we're going to talk about the necessity of affirmation in the church. And one of the central aspects of that, of affirmation, is looking into others, the people that you're sitting with right now, and seeing how God is at work in them and affirming that to their face. The faith you must have, the focus you must give, the fruit you will produce because of the friend who makes it all happen. In the end, you look at these little steps and you say, oh, praise you, Lord, because I wasn't like that last week. Or praise you, Lord, because here I muffed up again. And yet you haven't left me. If I were you, I'd have left me long ago. But God, He said, I'll never do that. That's the basics of Christianity. So listen, you hear all of the stuff in the world today, and it's horrible, horrible, terror on. But did you notice, we say, okay, good, Saddam Hussein is gone, now we'll live in peace. Oh, wait a minute, Osama bin Laden, let's get him. Now he's gone, we'll live in peace. Now there's somebody else, and somebody else. And it's going to keep going and going and going. You need to get right with God through Jesus to find peace, because there ain't none in this world. It's only in Christ. And I can be so bold to say that. Just like Paul, I can be so bold to say that. Since we have such a hope, what hope? For if what was brought to an end came with more glory, much more what will what is permanent have glory? In other words, I can be so bold because God has not changed His mind. God has not changed His mind. Amen. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, today's the day. Turn to the Lord in faith. You say, yeah, even right now the scales are beginning, the veil's being removed, the scale's falling off. Well, that's happening not because of something I did or something you did. It's happening because the Spirit is being active in your life. If right now you're saying, I'm starting to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, God in the flesh, just like He said, and I believe that he died for my sin, I'm starting to believe that now, that he rose again the third day, it's because the Spirit is being active in your life, taking away the blinders, taking away the scales. He's enabling you to do this. So if that's the case, then say, all right, Lord, here I am. You're here today and you're a believer in Christ. Let me tell you this. There's lots and lots going on today. But God loves you in Christ. He loves you in Christ. Praise the Lord. And this life is not about your performance, but it's about what he's doing in you. And that's the beauty of the church, because we're just a bunch of, well, in and of ourselves, we're just a bunch of losers. And I'm not saying that to make anybody feel bad. We're just a bunch of losers who have become who we are in Christ. That's awesome. That is awesome. That's the basics of Christianity. Let's pray. So, Lord, we thank you now for this time, and I pray that you would bless it and use it for your glory. Let us be more filled with you than we are of ourselves. I pray this in Christ's name, and together all God's people said, amen. Would you stand together for the